You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL Schedule Release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule-release to learn more.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Let's do it.
All right. So, Michael, at the end of last episode, you made your sentiments known that you, you're not necessarily on the Merc train.
Yeah. I'm not. It's such a wealthy brand. It spews elitism. I'm from Southeast Michigan. You drive American, where I came from. That's a silly thing to say when referring to Formula One, because there's not even any Americans anyways. It's not, certainly not any American car brands, I don't think, right?
We'll get to that.
Okay, great. But no, I'm not ever going to root for Mercedes. When am I? No, I that's not my... Now, I'm curious to meet these other teams. If all these other teams are like... even more elitist, pompous, Toto Wolff-esque, then maybe I'll go, oh, shit, I had the wrong first impression of Mercedes. But it's going to be tough to get Michael Costa to root for Mercedes, which is unfair considering I haven't even met the drivers yet.
That's a great place to start. So, so today we're talking about the drivers on this team. So that is going to be Lewis Hamilton, the GOAT.
Yep.
And George Russell, the hopes to one day be the GOAT.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where our story begins. From iHeartRadio and Sports Illustrated Studios, this is...
Choosing Sides. F1.
Wow! Wow-hoy.
Sir Lewis Hamilton is who we're going to start with. It kind of goes without saying, or it's a no-brainer, that Lewis Hamilton needs to come first. He's been around the sport for longer. He's one of the best to ever drive.
I have to say, Lily, I'm already insulted just by you saying, like, he's one of the greatest of all times, and he is the greatest of all times. I think it's undisputed just by his record.
Is it? Is it that clear cut?
Oh, yeah. So we'll get to this. So here's what's interesting. You got a lot of people who will try and say that Lewis is the undisputed greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. Much like producer Yochai over here.
Sure.
And then you have people who argue with those people and say that he's overrated and this and that. And we'll get into all of that controversy and why. So just the stats.
It's not an argument. It's just a statement of fact.
I should never have told Yochai that I wanted his voice in this podcast.
All right. So Lewis, stats-wise, I mean, it's incredible.
Seven-time world champion. He is the best qualifier, i.e. the fastest person we've ever seen in Formula One consistently, over 100 pole positions, which is, an incredible statistic.
A pole position is you don't just show up on a Formula One race weekend and just race, you know, drive the race. You have something called qualifying, where all of the drivers basically try to get the fastest time over a single lap.
Alone?
Just them. Yeah. And based on where you qualify, so how fast or slow you are, that's kind of where you start on the quote unquote grid. That's where that term comes from on race day. So when we say pole position, that means that Lewis was in basically first place in qualifying and he's going to start the race in first place. That's pole. And he also obviously has even more podium finishes in second and third place. I mean, just he kind of blows everyone out of the water. First things first, can you just say your first and last name and the pronouns you use?
Crikey. I just use Jenny Gao. That's just me.
So that was Jenny Gao. She's a prominent F1 reporter for the BBC and other media outlets.
And I also feature on Drive to Survive as one of their F1 experts.
Okay.
So, Sir Lewis Hamilton, how would you sort of explain Lewis Hamilton to someone who's kind of new, maybe only tangentially heard of him? Like, why Lewis and why root for Lewis?
So let me try and explain Lewis Hamilton, although I feel that this is a subject that a lot of people could talk about for a long, long time, because he's a bit of an anomaly. He's a very complex character. He is loved and hated in equal measure, which seems bizarre for a man that has won 7 world titles in Formula One and has been knighted by the Queen and, as you say, Sir Lewis Hamilton. But he does divide opinion because he is not a purist when it comes to Formula One. He doesn't just turn up on a race weekend, put on his overalls, go out, win races, and then disappear into the ether. He has a whole nother side. So his other side is the side that goes out and does go to red carpet events. He likes to make music. He likes fashion. He goes to, you know, Balenciaga catwalk shows and fashion shows. I've just aged myself hugely and made myself sound about 80 by using catwalk show. But yeah, he's into fashion. He's into music. He's into films. He likes to go out and skydive. You know, this is the all action man. And of course, the biggest factor in his life is that he happens to be the only black F1 driver.
Lewis is the only black driver to ever be in Formula One. And he's the only black driver currently on the grid. So he's the first. He's the only. So he's really just off the bat coming from a very different place than literally every other driver.
You immediately notice that because every time you Google anything about Formula One, it's all just white dudes, man.
Yeah, exactly. So he stands out already to begin with. This has always been the case in his career.
Yeah.
So he comes from not a rich background in England. And he actually didn't start his career off karting. One year when he was really young, his dad bought him like a remote control car.
Mm-hmm.
And took Lewis to go like race it around at some kind of informal races,
mm-hmm.
you know, near their home. And there's like, you know, images and kind of grainy video of this, like, you know, 6-7 year old, whatever, Lewis Hamilton beating these middle-aged guys at remote control car driving.
Right.
Like he just had the instincts and all of that.
Right.
So eventually, you know, his father and him, they really bond over this. They get him into karting. His dad, though, is working, you know, 3 jobs at any given time. Some have said up to 6, but he's working around the clock.
Yep.
To afford his son's karting career. You know, there's a lot put in for this family for him to even kart at, you know, and he's not even out of elementary school yet, but he's dominating. Like, so he's killing it. But on top of just, you know, already having to struggle from a money and financial perspective, you know, there is a lot of racism that Lewis deals with at an early age.
I would think.
Yeah. He's got adults hurling, you know, anti-black slurs at him. And he's, again, in elementary school.
In the past years, I've had racist names being called to me. The first time it happened, I felt really upset. I told my mum and dad, and I felt like I needed to get revenge on them. But lately, if anybody had said anything to me, I'd just ignore them and get them back on the track.
Oh, my God.
And he has said, too, that he didn't really unpack the full effect of that until only a couple years ago during kind of, you know, the George Floyd murder. And kind of from that whole moment, he kind of said, I hadn't fully digested the absolute extent of how traumatizing and damaging and harmful that was.
We saw him going out marching, holding placards because Black life matters to him. Black lives matter to him. And he wants his voice heard.
And this obviously continues to present day. You know, he deals with booing. He deals with all that stuff that comes with both being probably the only black driver on the grid and also being the winningest one, you know, the winningest person in the sport's history.
Yep. It's certainly always been a factor. And, you know, last year, the FIA finally stepped in and told fans to stop racially abusing him.
Reporter Hazel Southwell again.
It's been 16 years that he's been driving in Formula One. that's a really pretty, like, primordially slow reaction time in terms of beginning to be aware of a problem.
So that's Lewis's background. But yeah, basically Lewis impresses the bosses at a team called McLaren and eventually makes his rookie debut in the 2007 season. He ends up in second place and loses by a point.
Oh, wow. That was his rookie year.
Rookie season, yeah.
Wow.
Wins Formula One World Drivers Championship his second year.
Guys, I'm speechless. I'm speechless. So this is for you and to my family. Thank you for all supporting me and believing in me.
Wow. Yeah. Superstar. Immediate superstar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can you describe your emotions right now? Put them into words.
I don't think I can. I'm very emotional, I would say. My heart's feeling so much strain right now because I think it was the same for everyone. But I'm just very proud of the team and my family as well.
He talked so softly. Let me tell you something, everybody. The people that scream their success at you are not the ones to worry about. It's the ones that are soft-spoken and deliberate with their words. Those are the ones that will fuck you up.
I will say, there is always a little bit of luck involved, right place, right time. So there have been times where great drivers have not made it on the grid for reasons that have nothing to do with them. Yeah,
sure.
It worked out. Let's say it didn't hinder him. He didn't have to. Well, it's actually funny because we'll talk about George Russell in a second, who's had a little bit of a different start to his Formula One career.
Right.
So, yeah, Lewis ends up on a great historic team that has a lot of that infrastructure, the resources. And not to say we'll learn later that McLaren has struggled in recent years, but you know, Lewis is there. He does super well there. And he also seems to be someone, though, who has the instincts and know when it's time. He's a very intuitive guy, right?
Yeah.
He's a little bit into, like, spirituality and mysticism.
Yeah.
So he kind of knows when it's time to make the jump.
Yep.
Even if no one else sees it or understands it, you know, he makes this jump to this newer team, Mercedes.
Yep.
The perfect time.
Yep.
You know, kind of, I think he got fourth his first year when they still hadn't had the new regulations in place yet. But then they just go gangbusters the next year.
World champion!
Victory once again!
Hamilton does it! A five-time champion!
Lewis Hamilton has led every single lap of this race, had pole, has the fastest lap as well. It is Lewis Hamilton winning in Abu Dhabi!
That's for all the kids out there who dream the impossible. You can do it too, man. I believe in you guys. Thank you so much, everyone, for your support.
What makes Lewis Hamilton such a good driver? The car is obviously part of it. Anyone can look great in a great car, but what is it about Lewis that have made him so dominant?
The number one thing is raw talent. So my name is Aldis Kavalauskas, and I basically just cover the world of Formula One, talk about it, what I like, what I dislike, living the dream as it is.
Perfect.
Lewis Hamilton and the driver he is. Okay, forget about the Formula One career. Let's go back to his karting days. He dominated in karting. He dominated in single-seaters as well. He won GP2 in 2006 in his very first season as a rookie, produced some amazing drives.
Also, Lewis works really closely with his engineers. He's part of every decision that they make. He is fully involved, fully invested.
That's Sarah Levinson, a motorsports communications expert and F1 superfan.
You see in some of the other teams and some of the other drivers, they don't really care. They're saying, the engineers know best. I'm going to let them do what they want and I will just drive. Versus Lewis gives that real-time feedback to his engineers. He pulls all-nighters, spending time with his engineers to make sure that the car is right. Lewis has making himself hard to beat really because of that commitment. He has a lot of other passions outside of Formula One, but he doesn't let any of that get in the way of his performance and his success. He hasn't had a serious relationship in a long time because he doesn't want, that's not a priority for him. He spends all of his time with the team at the factory instead of building out his life.
Honestly, I implore you, anyone who's listening to go watch some videos on Turkey 2006, which was one of his absolute magic drives. He made a mistake early on, had a spin, and then worked his way through the field to finish. I think he was second on the podium with some amazing overtakes. And you can see the talent right there.
You cannot question his dedication to the sport and his pure skill that he's developed through decades of experience.
He has absolutely earned all of the success that he's got.
Wow.
Yeah. I will say what makes Lewis very different is how he approaches, I would say, life off the track, but also his persona on. So most F1 drivers, a lot of them are very much the types of people who show up on race day, you know, want to race really fast, and then they just go back to their lives. You never really hear about them. They don't want to be public figures. They're just singularly focused on Formula One and don't really have you know, you don't really hear about outside hobbies or interests. That was for a long time.
Yep.
What kind of the ideal quote unquote Formula One driver yep. was painted as.
Yep.
Lewis is different for many reasons. For one thing, which we'll start out with, Lewis is known for his fashion. Lewis actually enjoys the idea of celebrity.
Yeah.
So he actually hired a Hollywood celebrity stylist, this guy named Law Roach.
Okay.
Law Roach. Yeah. Law Roach also styles both Zendaya and Tom Holland. So this is like a real deal stylist.
Right.
And so I got an example. I have, as I said,
great.
I have slides. So this is a perfect example of like everyone else on the grid versus Lewis. So what I'm going to show you is on the first day of a typical Formula One race weekend, mm-hmm. there's something on usually Thursdays called Media Day. This is mm-hmm. when the drivers come in. They get to walk the track and take a look at it. So this isn't a formal, they don't drive at all. This is just show up, get a sense of the track, talk to the press, call it a day. So I would love for you to describe to me what these guys in this photo are wearing.
Three men, tracksuit pants, sport logo t-shirt.
Yeah.
So they basic got shit.
Here are just some examples of outfits that Lewis Hamilton has shown up to the track in.
Oh, I love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right. So there's three photos. One on the left is a lime green puffer suit.
Set. Yeah, it's a set.
Set.
Yeah.
The middle, which is my favorite, is monochromatic red fitted.
That is an Alexander McQueen suit that he is wearing to the track on like a random day.
And I don't know who Alexander McQueen is, but there's also a messenger bag that could be a purse that's the same color as the suit, very fitted. And then on the right is another puffer orange for lack of a better term. It almost looks like one of those like orange jumpsuits you see like criminals have to wear, you know. Maybe I don't know if we're allowed to say what I just said, but he's in three very interesting, elaborate, and thought through outfits.
Yes, and these are all also coming straight off the runways that season.
Right.
So these are like New York Fashion Week.
Yeah.
His stylist Law Roach saw these and were like, "Hey, Lewis, like this is what we're gonna wear today."
I would bet, knowing from what you've told me, that the outfit that kind of looks like the prisoner jumpsuit, I would bet that in a way that is meant to be thought-provoking and, I'm the only person of color in this sport and I'm also the best, motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in your little societal pot and stir it.
Okay, so that was good analysis because that outfit, first outfit for the first media day of the season, he comes out swinging with that bright orange outfit. Yeah.
So that I feel even more comfortable saying what I said because it's meant to elicit a response.
Yes. You learn infinitely more about Lewis just looking at those photos of him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
by the way, I hate two of those outfits.
But he's getting me to
think about fashion and think about him. And the one in the middle, I think, is just so sweet.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's literally like was on the runway like 2 weeks prior and then
that's
he
great.
Shows up and or whatever it is. It's like he, he went live on the website. Lewis Hamilton snatches it and wears it.
Yeah, he looks sharp. And I'm just fully on board with a Formula One driver being fully like, this is an elite sport. You should look like you at least thought about what you're going to wear.
Yeah.
Also, if I was a competitor and if I was George Russell, his teammate, I would see him wearing that and I would want to beat his ass. So there you go.
So that's Lewis's
dope.
Style. Yeah.
I like Lewis.
The other thing that really sets Lewis apart, and I think even anyone who doesn't like him for whatever reason would agree.
Not only is he a driver, not only is he happy to go out and be a bit of a celebrity and a star, but he's also happy to be an activist and have a voice.
Hey guys, I just happened to be on the beach and just so much waste. This is just from 5 minutes of picking. It's taken us 10 or 15 minutes to pick all this up. And there's so much more rubbish that's out there. Really just want to encourage people, just please be conscious of what you're buying. I know it's not your intention for it to end up in the oceans, but the fact is, it is. And we've got to do something about it. But I'm definitely going to try my best to clean up the beach that's here.
Formula One needs that.
Yeah.
Because it's easy for I mean, this is wealth beyond wealth. So it needs some of its athletes to wake up a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. And he also started an organization called the Hamilton Commission, which is there to increase diversity and inclusion in UK motorsports, particularly amongst not just black drivers, but black personnel. So that's going to include engineers, mechanics, you know, just all around diversity and inclusion in the sport. And he even kind of meshed together his love of fashion and social activism recently. So he, in 2021, started wearing these T-shirts that kind of had little words and phrases on them. Okay. And, you know, people like me were kind of looking at them like, what is that? Like, are these connected? Is this just like a weird thing? And he actually worked with a poet to create a poem about like diversity, inclusion, like equality in our world. And all of these T-shirts each had a different line of the poem. And so he wore this over like a large portion of last season. Yeah. Cool.
For both the modern era and for the extent of his activism, it has to be called, and his willingness to hold Formula One to account, then Hamilton is simply at a different level to anyone in the history of the sport, both on track by being unbelievably skilled and in terms of his pushing the sport itself forwards and the entirety of motorsport as a consequence.
Yeah, very three-dimensional person.
That's great.
Yeah.
The fear is that some of it becomes a distraction from racing. That will be for him and his team to figure out.
Yeah. So, for instance, there was a lot of controversy a few years ago when Lewis did a collaboration with the iconic American designer Tommy Hilfiger. And they had like a fashion show launch for this collaboration, this brand, the night before a Grand Prix race. And everyone, of course, was like, Lewis doesn't care about, you know, he should be home sleeping and resting and whatever. And he proceeds to go to the event. It comes out, you know, next day, wins the race.
I mean, that's why I was very clear to say for him and his team to figure out, not the fans.
Oh, no,
not Twitter.
Exactly.
But, you know, I get caught with this with Naomi Osaka, the tennis player who I love, who's very, very socially active. But lots of times I'm screaming at the TV going, will you stop like being so socially conscious and start just winning the tournament, please?
Yeah.
But that's not for me to decide. It's for her to decide.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, so that's Lewis. I'd say there's also like, as I said earlier, Lewis kind of like spirituality and in that element. There's a lot of stuff on his Instagram about, you know, take a deep breath and, feel the world around you.
Right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I hope you're all well. I just wanted to send you guys a message of positivity. Keep shining your light. Keep staying positive. Keep believing. Each and every single one of you is great and unique in your own way. And there's no limit to what you can do. So happy weekend.
He's a vegan.
Okay.
Basically what I'm getting at, he is in fact a bona fide celebrity. He's not just a driver.
Yep.
He likes it that way to a certain extent. Yep. It unnerves some drivers how calm he'll be when he's like, you know, we all just want to be friends and like, I just want to win. And people will be like, Lewis, you nearly crashed into me, sir. Right, like what?
Delta, 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 Delta. Calm down, man.
Lewis Hamilton is, in my mind, one of the top sports people in the world right now. For every reason, not just one reason that he drives blimmin' fast in a car, but he also wants to be more than that, which is pretty special and unique.
He's a class act off the track, and he's one of the most kind of one of the most talented drivers on the track as well. So it's just, that's what leads him to be such a great driver. And even now, you know, he's not having a great season because the Mercedes is struggling, but he's going to be back, no doubt about it. He's still there.
So, I'm very excited to watch him race.
Oh, yeah. Got plenty of highlights where it's just like, I don't know how Lewis figured that out. But of course, like I said, he can get a little whiny during races. He's always yelling about his tires being gone. And you're like, Lewis, you just started the race, sir. You got another 70 laps. Like, I doubt your tires are gone.
Right.
You know, he'll complain and then he'll have like the longest going, you know, he'll pit last, you know, and you're like, dude, your tires were fine. You know, to the point where people think it's a
strategy. How often are they pitting in a race?
Typically 1 to 2 times.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. And the pit stops, the best pit stops are under 2 seconds.
What?
Yeah.
Two seconds.
Yeah. We can watch when
they're changing tires in that.
They have like one guy who's on the old tire, one guy who's going to put on the new tire, a separate gun guy.
They
all also have backups for all these positions.
Right.
So you'll kind of see it like there's the guy with the nut and bolt gun and then someone behind them who's there in case something gets effed.
That is outrageous.
Yeah, they before races, you see these mechanics and whatnot, like stretching, doing calisthenics, right. Like doing a full on workout before they even practice. Their pit stops.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so Red Bull, they're kind of the gold standard. Them and that team Williams that keeps popping up, which will pop up yet again right now because we're going to talk about George Russell.
Yes. Quick break, and we're back.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit nfl.com/schedule-release to learn more.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
So, Lewis Hamilton, one side of the Mercedes garage. On the other side, we have George Russell, another British driver. So, George is, as of the start of the 2022 season, he is 13 years younger than Lewis. He is 24 years old.
Yep.
Definitely a different generation of driver than Lewis.
Yeah.
What he does have in common with Lewis is he was also very successful in his junior career leading up to F1. What I find very funny is there was an interview with a different driver, Lando Norris, who's around George Russell's age. They raced together growing up. And he's talked about how everyone wanted to be George Russell in karting when they were kids. He had a poster of George Russell, like from some event, like everyone wanted to be George. So like, it goes all, you know, this kind of golden boy vibe to him goes all the way back to like the earliest
being
stages
a kid,
of his careers.
Right.
Yeah. It's actually maybe a good time to talk about how Lewis and George are very similar. So Lewis, we'll go back to Lewis for a second. Lewis, when he was a kid, goes to an event where he wins some karting thing. He meets, as part of this, this guy, Ron Dennis, who is heading up the Formula One team McLaren that he would eventually race for. So little Lewis, who is 10 years old, up to this adult man who's rich as fuck and is just kind of there because he was making an appearance.
Right.
And he essentially goes, hey, I'm Lewis Hamilton. I'd love to drive for your Formula One team in a couple of years. And can you sign my autograph? You know, give me your autograph. And Ron Dennis is so charmed by this whole thing
right.
that he actually stays in touch with Lewis and is like, who the hell is this kid? Like, right. what is this? This whole idea of kind of Lewis, you know, taking that initiative.
And having the balls and belief.
Exactly. Yeah.
To go do that.
The cojones to go up yeah. to this, like, man and just, and of course, I'm sure it was kind of adorable, right?
Sure,
like, a little 10-year-old doing this is very funny. George Russell, similarly, not as young, but in his teens, he gets his hands on the email of one Toto Wolff, then team principal of the Mercedes F1 team. And George emails him kind of like, hey, I'd love to talk to you about just like my career and where I'm going and whatnot. Toto shows up to this meeting and George meets him wearing a full suit and comes with a PowerPoint to discuss his career. And Toto has said that George reminded him more of an accountant than a race car driver.
Interesting.
Yeah. So similar again, very different upbringings. Yeah. You know, George more privileged upbringing than Lewis. Similar just, you know, temperaments, which we'll get to with George in a second. But definitely have a little bit of that politician archetype to them. They're ready to kind of, you know, put it all out there, do what needs to get done, go straight to the boss. And in George's case, that ended up with, you know, Mercedes saying, hey, we've kind of started our own driver development program. Do you want to sign to it and kind of be one of the first to be on this train with us?
We liked your PowerPoint. Pretty successful.
The accountant getup worked. It was a great, a great moment. So,
you know, let me interrupt for a second. When I used to, I coached tennis at University of Michigan. I used to recruit young players to try to come to Michigan. You know, not nearly as high as a level as these guys are sport. But what I was always looking for and what I was coached to look for when trying to find young men that will be successful is a commitment and an obsession of success in that sport. And what's interesting to hear you talk about Lewis at 10.
Yeah.
Going up to the McLaren team principal, if you're the older man there, you're seeing this is a 10-year-old who's obsessed with trying to be successful in this sport.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds very similar to what George did with Toto, making a PowerPoint. Like, that's insane. Whether the kid can drive or not, you'll find out eventually.
It's memorable. At the end
it's
of the
memorable,
day,
and it shows that this kid is committed to wanting to be successful in the sport. I could see how they were impressed by that. I would be impressed by that.
Oh, yeah. So that's where George is with Mercedes. He signed to this program. Toto, going along the lines of ethically and morally murky things, Toto basically manages George's career. So he's a team boss who also is in charge of this guy's career.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So basically, you know, George is rearing to go and, you know, in F1. He doesn't have a seat. And at the time, basically, Mercedes is working, has a partnership with that team Williams that we have mentioned on multiple occasions.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially they say, hey, you know, Williams is going to have a seat. They want to strengthen this partnership with the Mercedes. What if we sign and kind of almost loan George to Williams for a couple seasons? Basically, Mercedes sees an opportunity. They say, hey, we have this driver we eventually want to sign and be our guy. He's very talented. But we don't want to have to spend the time training this, like, 20, 21-year-old. You know, he's going to have make his mistakes and crash and do this and that. Like, why not have another team take him under their wing? Help him learn the ropes. And also, quite frankly, it's going to be a character building exercise to be on one of the worst teams reliably on the grid.
You get a seat, but you get a shit seat.
So George Russell, a wonderful human being. I don't know if that's true.
This is Bird Pinkerton, a massive George Russell fan. I know you want to talk about your man, George Russell.
Yes. I fell in love with George Russell because he was like my cursed son. He just, like, I don't even know how to describe the degree to which George Russell seemed cursed. He came into the sport, he was, like, incredible. And then, you know, he was put in Williams. Williams was sort of struggling in the back. He was, like, paying his dues.
That's very commendable.
Yeah, and did it for 3 years.
Yeah, because he didn't lay in bed at night dreaming of a seat on the 10th place team, Williams. Mm-hmm. He laid in bed wanting to win this thing for a Mercedes.
Yeah.
So this is 2020. Lewis Hamilton gets COVID. He's out for a race. And Toto, the person who runs Mercedes, is looking around, trying to figure out, like, who am I going to bring in? Who could possibly replace Lewis in this car, in, like, the best car on the grid? So he's looking around, and he's like, why don't I bring in George Russell. He's done a lot of testing for Mercedes. Like, he is sort of the planned next person for Mercedes when they have room. We're going to bring him in. We're going to put him in Lewis Hamilton's seat, and we're going to, like, see what he can do. And this is, you know, for this guy who's been, like, a backmarker struggling, this is, like, the chance of a lifetime. And he gets in. He, like, qualifies really well. He's P2, so he's still behind Valtteri Bottas, who's the other Mercedes driver. But he's qualified really well. Like, the race starts. He, like, cruises out.
Goes into the first turn, and George Russell takes the lead.
He's just zooming around, like, they're not even really showing him because he's having such a good time at the front. He's, like, so far ahead.
George Russell has just set the fastest lap of the race.
Everything seems like easy sailing. And then...
Oh, no.
The curse. My poor son's curse. Everything goes wrong with his pit stop. It's a disaster. He loses first place.
Looks like a rear left puncture. Looks like rear left puncture.
A disaster, tragedy.
That's George Russell's chance of a podium. Absolutely gone now.
It wasn't totally clear if he was going to get another shot or, like, when he would ever get another shot. Like, this was a chance for him to get his first win, and it sort of slipped through his fingers, and it was sort of at no fault of his own. And then I was just watching him desperately trying with Williams to get sort of just points, just any points. And so I think it was the Austrian Grand Prix where, like, the entire race, or, like, most of the race, he was P10.
Which meant he would have gotten a point if he had stayed in P10.
A single point if he had stayed in P10. And then, like, very near the end of the race, like, Fernando Alonso and his Alpine comes, like, sniffing up behind. And I just remember, like, yelling at the screen, like, please, please just let this boy get one point. Like, Alonso has won 2 world championships. He doesn't need this. I mean, he does need this point, but, like, he doesn't need this point. And, you know, of course he overtook him. I think afterwards Alonso was like, I regretted that it was George. Anyone but George. Because, you know, Williams hadn't had a point in years. And so it would have been so meaningful to them.
Not scoring energy. A point for years. That's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Depressing, yeah.
Mercedes doesn't own Williams.
No, they don't own them.
They sell them engines and their buddies.
Yeah, they're pals, yeah. On the grid, you'll hear this idea of, like, a sister team or, like, a junior team or kind of teams that have, like, some sort of formal or informal partnership going on. And, yeah, the Williams-Mercedes one, there's definitely, like, they're palling around together.
This is kind of like that TV show Survivor.
Oh, I know everything there is to know about Survivor.
I mean, you kind of form an alliance. Yep. You kind of screw each other over, but then you kind of have to befriend people again. That's what Formula One is
feeling like. Oh, 100%. And there's times on the track, too, where drivers have gone out of their way to fuck with other drivers because, they're not in their alliance, right?
Sure.
Finally, in Hungary, was this disaster of a race. Like, most of the grid was either out of the race or, like, their cars were impaired. And so both of the Williams cars finished in the points. And I think that was the moment where I was like, oh, I just really like this driver, because he was being interviewed afterwards. And again, he had gotten, like, 2 points. Like, this was not, he had not won the race. He was not on the podium. And he started crying.
Hard work, dedication, personally, for everybody in the team. And just, I'm emotional. It's weird.
He got teary-eyed talking about what this meant for the team and how much work they had put into it. It says a lot, because a lot of these drivers are kind of divas. So I just enjoy people who express respect for the place that they're in.
It'll be interesting to see if and when he starts challenging Lewis.
Yes, I could see there being some friction there.
How do you think he's going to fare at Mercedes with Lewis Hamilton, arguably the greatest of all time in Formula One, as his other driver?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Lewis Hamilton is so good. Like, Lewis Hamilton is incredible. He has very big footsteps to follow in. But we'll see. We'll see if he grows into them. I believe.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit nfl.com/schedule release to learn more.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
First of all, what do you think about Lewis and George individually? How are you feeling?
I like both very much. I know that contradicts what I said previously, that I will never root for Mercedes.
Is there one you're favoring over the other?
I would pick George because, well, I'm a team player. I've always loved the guy that doesn't always try to score the points, but instead is happy to rebound and play excellent defense. But I believe there is definitely a sleeping giant in there that is also very excited to challenge Lewis and become the best. That's what he wants to be. Yeah. That's how you get a seat, is to become the best. It'll be fun to see what happens when that gets stirred up, if it ever does. Lewis Hamilton reminds me, from what you've told me, a little bit of Serena Williams.
Yeah.
Total disruptor, total badass, holds all the records, if not one of the best. Yohai believes he is the best. But also, that doesn't go without a couple annoying things. I'm certain if when I learn more about Lewis and his little like calm demeanor that seems like a little bit of a manufactured competitive edge, some of that stuff will piss me off a little bit. So I don't know. That's my initial take on it.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. So right now, you don't dislike Lewis, but you like George's story.
Lewis sounds like he's already the greatest ever. So yeah. I love the idea of George, the good old British boy who hasn't really achieved much yet.
Yeah.
Kind of, I like that underdog vibe more. Mm-hmm. It seems like Lewis is on top of the mountain.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
So forgive me for not maybe rooting for the overdog, but it might be different if I was meeting Lewis at a different stage in his career. I am absolutely baffled that Lewis Hamilton is the first Formula One driver to take media day fashion seriously.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And a wonderful way to make a statement without saying shit.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So that's awesome that he does that. And the sport should be thanking him all the way for the attention and publicity that that garners.
100%. Yeah. All right. So next week, yes. I'm actually very excited. So we've gone through this sort of hyper-efficient, Total Wolf-driven mm-hmm. house of Mercedes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're spending next week's two-part episode focusing on the other big competitor on the grid coming into this season, and that is Red Bull.
Red Bull. It just blows my mind that we take Red Bull seriously.
Yeah.
Because I'm of the age where I remember when it came on the scene, and it was a joke.
Yeah.
It's a fucking energy drink. How can they win anything ever?
Red Bull is the team where if you want a little bit of dramatic flair, I'd also say a little bit more masculine flair.
Sure.
They're the team to look at.
Okay.
You know, you've got this real shit-talking team principal, a guy named Christian Horner.
Love it.
I will also say he is married to a Spice Girl, but I will not tell you which one okay. he is married to. So that's a little bit of trivia for you there. You've got an uber-aggressive defending world champion in Max Verstappen,
yep.
Who is, as much as Lewis is a man with a diversity of interests, and beliefs and whatnot. Max, you will never meet a more one-track mind driver
Great.
In your life. So a
Great.
Complete juxtaposition to Lewis Hamilton, his rival from last season. And then you've got kind of the ultimate number two driver guy in the other driver, Sergio Perez. So
okay.
otherwise known as Checo.
And it's something truckers drink when they move our Amazon packages from the East Coast to the West Coast of America.
You know what it is? I don't think Red Bull is trying to market to me
right.
as sort of... yeah, like a cosmopolitan New York City girly.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have a fun time trying to explain Red Bull
to me
to you.
Who's probably their demographic.
Exactly. Yeah. You're a little more of their demographic than I am.
I'm gonna bring a Red Bull whenever.
Yeah,
we do this.
I will also bring a Red Bull. We'll get all the flavors. We'll have like
yeah,
a
and then
taste
when we
test.
Talk about Williams, I'll bring a Williams.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whatever that ends up being. All right, Yochai. Anything else you want us to say?
This has been Choosing Sides, F1, a production of Sports Illustrated Studios and iHeartRadio. The show is hosted by Michael Costa and Lily Herman. This episode was produced by Lily Herman and our senior producer, Yochai Maital, who also did the sound design. At the Cutting Room Studios, we're recorded by engineer Rob O'Leary. Mastering by Cella Weisblum. Max Miller is the executive producer, and Brennan Getchess is head of audio at SI Studios. At iHeartRadio, Sean Titone is our executive producer. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to rate us and tell your friends. It'll mean a lot.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced.
Bring it on.
Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL Schedule Release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit nfl.com/schedule-release to learn more.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.